Well, good morning to all of you. I know some of you I got to see earlier, but good to be with you in worship this morning. This morning we're going to talk about love, or maybe I'm going to talk about love and you'll listen. I guess that's usually how it goes most of the time. Fortunately for you, I'm not accustomed to preaching 45 minutes or longer. I guess my attitude has been a little different. If I can't say it in 15 minutes or so, then you know, maybe I need to communicate a little more clearly. But for this morning, thinking about love, we're going to start with that commandment, amazing commandment that Jesus gives in the Sermon on the Mount, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That is, be perfect in loving just as God is perfect in loving. Because God loves the evil and the good, the righteous and the unrighteous. He shows love to everybody. So we are to be like that. Easier to read than to do. Easier to hear upon the ear than to live out in life. That we should love that way. And to move on from there, let's think of some other commandments. If we could go to our first slide there. Love God. Yeah, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. That comes from the book of Deuteronomy. And a second commandment, like that greatest commandment, is love your neighbor as you love yourself. How do we do with that? Well, Mother Teresa, I think, lived those out pretty well. At least as she got on in life. I don't know how she was when she was little and growing up, but as she matured and came closer to Christ and served Christ, I think she lived that out pretty well. She didn't only love the people that were close to her. She didn't only love her friends. She loved the poorest of the poor. She loved the orphans. She loved the older people who were in the last days of their life. So she was able to do that. But what about us? And now let's go to that slide with the kids. Yeah. In Matthew, Jesus says, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Well, don't we even struggle with that, loving those who love us? I grew up in a pretty good-sized family. There were six children. One older brother died before I was born. So in my growing up experience, there were five of us, two brothers, two sisters, and I was right in the middle. And that picture kind of shows how it was sometimes. We didn't always get along. In fact, when you would have, I guess Angie probably was reading this morning, the passage from Galatians, talking about life according to the sinful nature, discord, jealousies, all that kind of stuff. Well, that's what it was like among siblings. We did a lot of fighting. I particularly did a lot of fighting because I had a terrible temper as a kid. We struggled even to love our siblings. And that did not magically end when we all grew up and became adults. Now, I think we do a pretty good job of loving each other, but there have been some times that it's been tough. There have been some times where apologies have been offered and forgiveness had to be extended. There have been some seasons in life where maybe a good period of time went by and we didn't talk very much. Struggling even to love our siblings. Now, maybe you haven't experienced that. Maybe you're an only child and you haven't experienced that. But I bet those of us that have siblings have probably experienced that. And even aside from brothers and sisters, or brothers and brothers, or sisters and sisters, sometimes parents struggle to love their children. Now, we might think, well, loving your children when they're born, there's just this overwhelming sense of love you have for them. And yes, that often happens and that often continues. But there are parents that aren't capable of loving their children, or at least they don't show that they are. There are parents who abuse their children. We struggle with that. And it doesn't only go that direction. There are children that struggle to love their parents. I hear stories every once in a while of how children really fail to live up to that commandment of honoring their mother and their father and mother. Children that take advantage of parents financially. Children that have, the parents, you know, thought, well, in terms of planning, it will be good just to sign my home over to my son or my daughter. And then when I die, you know, they won't have to go through any estate issues or anything to do with Medicare. Well, what happens in some cases is they sign over the house and the son or daughter kicks them out. I don't think that happens often, but it happens. So we can struggle even to love our parents. If we struggle with that, how are we going to love our enemies? If we struggle with that, how are we going to love our neighbors? In our sinful human nature that we are born into the world with, it's hard to live out that love. Let's go to the next slide. This is a picture of a clipper ship. This is ancient technology to us now when we have nuclear-powered vessels and we have diesel-powered vessels that cross the ocean in just a matter of days. But at one time, these were amazing to people because instead of taking months to cross the Atlantic Ocean, people could do it in a matter of weeks because these ships had so many sails and they were so well designed. As long as the wind was blowing, you could really move in one of these. But what happens when it's a dead calm? Then what does a clipper ship do? Just sits there. It just sits there, bobbing up and down as the waves go by. It's helpless to do anything. Well, that's how it is with us when it comes to love and a lot of other good virtues if we're doing it just in our own strength. Now, in our case, we don't need wind for power. We need the Holy Spirit. In the scripture, those two words are very closely related. In Hebrew and in Greek, wind and spirit can both be translated from the same word. So in Genesis chapter 1, for example, it talks about a wind from God blowing across the waters, or sometimes it's translated the Spirit of God. That's how closely those words are related. Well, as I say in us, we don't need the wind. We need the Spirit. As Paul was writing about the deeds of the sinful nature and all of the ugliness that comes from that, the way that we live before we come to know Jesus Christ, he contrasted that with the life that we have when we have the Holy Spirit, when we are disciples of Jesus and his Spirit lives and works in us. He talked about fruit. We could go to that slide. He talked about fruit, not bananas and apples and oranges and grapefruit, but the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, self-control. Now, love is the first one that he mentions. Maybe he mentioned it first because it's the most important. I think probably it is, since the greatest commandment and the one like it talked about love. Maybe he talked about love first because love kind of serves as the foundation for all the other good qualities. If we have love, if God's Spirit is bringing that about in our hearts, then all the other ones kind of follow along behind. Love. The Holy Spirit is able to bring about love in our hearts. So it's not something we do on our own power. It's not something that we create. It's not something that we just kind of, by force of will, make it happen. But instead, when God's Spirit lives and works and moves in us, then we are able to love. Then we really can love our brothers and sisters. Then we really can love our children and love our parents. Then we really can fulfill our wedding vows to love our spouse until death do us part. Then we can go beyond that to love neighbors, the people who live in our community, the people that work where we work. And we can go even beyond that and begin to love our enemies, as Jesus commanded, to really pray for those who are opposed to us. not bringing it about by our own ability, but the Holy Spirit bringing about in us. We can go to the last slide. This is pictures that come from mission trips of this church. I'm not sure where all of these were. Depending on when they were taken, maybe some are from Kentucky or some from West Virginia. But you might notice that not only do these show pictures of the people from our church, but also the people who lived in these homes. When the mission team goes out on a mission trip, it is love in action. Love that finds expression in physical activity that really betters the life of that family or that individual. When the mission team leaves, they don't know all the people that they are going to. They don't know whose home it is they will work on. They get to meet them that week, maybe just for a day or two. They were strangers before. But people from this church are loving them. And there's a lot of different ways that love kind of comes out, doesn't it? Not just on a mission trip, but it comes out when we pray for other people. We pray for one another in the church when there's illness or injury or difficulty with employment or grief, whatever. But we don't only pray for our brothers and sisters in this congregation. Often when we lift up prayers on Sunday morning or we share them in a small group or a Sunday school class, it's for people who aren't part of our church. They're neighbors, maybe, of people who come here or friends of people who come here. But to most of us, they're strangers. A lot of times when I hear names lifted up, I've never heard of that person before. But we pray. And as we pray, we are loving them. And then there are other ways we show love. We show love when we listen. Sometimes that listening takes place face to face. As we really give another person our attention and listen to their words and listen to their heart, that's love. Other times it happens over the phone if we call them or they call us and we take time and we listen to what's going on and we care about them. We love. There are times that I find in myself that my heart is kind of hard. It's cold. And I can be out among people and not really caring about them. Those are the times when it's more the sinful nature that's in charge instead of God's Spirit in charge. There are times even when someone can be struggling or frustrated or having a hard time and my heart is cold and I don't have any sympathy. The good news is it's not always like that. There are times when God gives me a soft heart towards other people. And it can happen in a variety of ways, a variety of places. Sometimes it hits me when I'm driving along on the road and there's somebody maybe going the other direction or somebody in front of me. And I begin to think about that person's life and begin to think to pray for them. Now, maybe we more often think of road rage when we think of being in a vehicle. But when we are followers of Jesus and God's Spirit is working in us, God's Spirit can be helping us love people that are on the highway with us. For me, sometimes it happens when I'm in a restaurant or at a grocery store. And maybe I begin to think about the person who's working behind the deli counter. As I'm waiting there for that person to fill my deli order, I begin to think about him and pray for him. Or sometimes, as I say, in a restaurant, maybe you're a waiter or waitress or the person who's clearing tables. Any of those situations, God's Spirit can have us loving that person. I hope that you've experienced that. I hope that as you're sitting there this morning, you're thinking of different times in your life and maybe frequently in your life when you have had that sense of care. And you might not even know the person's name. You might know almost nothing about them. But you have that sense that you care for them. You care about them. When that sort of thing happens, it's not because of your own nature that you started with in life, that sinful, self-centered nature that says, I love me, but I don't care so much about you. No, instead it's because God's Spirit is moving you. God's Spirit is helping you to love. In these last few weeks of the spring and then on into the summer, we're going to spend a lot of time in worship thinking about the fruit of the Spirit. Those good qualities that when we think about the life of Jesus, we see those in his life. We see those in the way he interacted with other people. We're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, that God's Spirit wants to bear those good qualities in us. He wants us to love like Jesus loves. He wants us to have joy, like the kind of joy that Jesus, the only Son of God, had in his relationship with his Heavenly Father. He wants us to have peace so that no matter what is going on around us, we have a sense of peace because we are secure in the arms of our Heavenly Father. So we'll be thinking about one after another. But again, this first week, we think about love. How do we love? How do we love our siblings when they aren't being nice to us? How do we love our parents or our kids when they're frustrating us? How do we love our neighbors when they do something that's kind of nasty? How do we love the people that we work with when they do something that's kind of nasty? How do we love the people that are our enemies, that would oppose us and make trouble for us? We're able to do all those things because God's Spirit lives in us as God's followers, as Jesus' disciples. And that Holy Spirit bears those qualities in our life. Let us pray together. Oh Lord, as we hear your awesome commandments about love, we know that in our own strength we fall very short of being able to do that. Short of being able to love you as you deserve, short of being able to love our neighbors and certainly our enemies. And so we know that we need the work and power of your Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can do these things. This morning we invite your Holy Spirit to be upon us, your Holy Spirit to fill us, so that as individual people and as a church, we will be able to love. We'll love one another. We'll love our sisters and brothers. We'll love our parents. We'll love our children. We'll love our neighbors and friends. We'll love those who offend us, those who hurt us. We know that we cannot do it, but we believe in your great power and your amazing grace. And so we ask that by your Spirit, you would bear those fruits in our lives. And we will give you the glory for it. And it will bring glory to your Son as it happens. These things we pray in his name.